there's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had.
Hello, welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Madeline Reynolds. Rosendale Theater in Rosendale, New York, in collaboration with Phoenicia Playhouse, is putting on the Hudson Valley premiere of the musical Respect, This One's for the Girls, based on the book Respect, Women, and Popular Music, written by Dorothy Marsick. Performances will start on Thursday, March 27th. Today I am joined by some of the people who are bringing this show to life for the Rosendale stage. Anne Citron is the current theater arts director and former director of the Rosendale Theater. Ovi Vargas is the director and interim artistic director for Phoenicia Playhouse, as well as the director of this production. Finally, Dorothy Marsick, who is a playwright, professor, and writer whose productions have played in 100 cities, including her off-Broadway musical of Sistas. Thank you all so much for being here to speak with me about this production. I'm really excited.
Oh, we are too. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Glad. Dorothy, my first question is to you. What inspired you to create and write this musical? And if you could, give myself and the listeners maybe a little sneak peek or summary about what this show is about.
Well, the show is the story of women told through top 40 music, from codependent to independent, from Someone to Watch Over Me to I Will Survive. And I was inspired because I was a management professor at Vanderbilt University. It's Music City. And I started using music in my leadership seminars. And then I started to think, and I've always done things on women in management my whole career. So I thought, well, let's look at women in music. So I started doing what we call content analysis research, ultimately of over 2,000 and later 20,000 top 40 songs, to see how women were depicted. And it turns out nobody had done this before. Well, I found, as I said, they went from codependent to independent. And when I would call up the publishers to ask permission to use it, because I started it as a one-woman show, and I actually sang it myself, they would go, oh, we never thought about this, the underlying meaning of the music. And so it opened in Florida in 2004, and it just went crazy. People, they were sold out for 2 months in the first week. And it's played in 100 cities and 2 years off Broadway. And so it's just, it's inspiring, it's uplifting, and it's a lot of fun.
Anne, yeah. What made the Rosendale Theater want to bring this show to life on your stage in collaboration with Phoenicia Playhouse? What was that process like?
Well, last December, I went to the Phoenicia Playhouse to see their show, Patsy Cline, Always Patsy Cline. And Ovi had directed it, and I thought, this is fantastic. I really believe in collaboration with other theaters, you know, and so I asked him and his board, and they agreed to bring Patsy Cline there. And then I met Dorothy at the same time, and we just started talking about a possible collaboration again because it worked out so well. And they agreed, and I trusted them implicitly, and that's how it transpired.
Was there a particular part of the show that you were really drawn to and you said, I want this on the stage?
Yeah. Well, I love shows that show strong women, number one. And I also love the idea of a show about the evolution of women in general, but this took it through a musical, you know, direction. And when Dorothy shared with me what she just shared with you, I thought, this is a fantastic thing to bring to our town. We have a lot of women in our audience, and we have a lot of women of a certain age that might really understand and be interested in this subject of how music evolved and how women became empowered. But it's not just for the girls, even though it says this one's for the girls. It's not just for the girls. Men will love it. It's fun. Every song, you know, that I knew growing up, and the choreographer, Liz Pickley, is wonderful. And, of course, Ovi, who is directing the show.
I'm glad that you mentioned Ovi, because my next question is for him. So what is particularly fun and new and exciting about directing this show, maybe from others that you've done in the past? Is there a particular scene that you really enjoyed creating and are fond of?
It's mostly the overall show. It's an unusual show because although it is, you know, technically listed as a musical review. It's really more of a hybrid. It's more like a music review slash musical because there's character development, even though it's short-lived. There are scenes, there are monologues throughout. So it's something that you don't usually find in a musical review, which sort of like borders more on a musical, but it's not quite a musical because the characters don't sustain throughout. So it's a beautiful sort of hybrid. I thought that's my challenge. And also the other challenge is, although this is the music of our lives, it's one of those things where you say to yourself, where was I when this song came out? It's what was I going through when this song came out that allowed this song to be part of my soundtrack? And understanding that, my job is to try to find ways to find deeper meaning within each song so that songs don't just kind of wash over you. When you're listening to our great performers sing these great songs, you go, oh, you know what? I never thought of it that way. Or, oh my God, that's really poignant. All this time, I've known this song for a long time, but now I'm hearing it with fresh ears. Like, oh, wow, this is meaningful to me. And like, I get it now. And so that's my challenge for the show. And, you know, being true to not only these two amazing ladies, you know, Anne and Dorothy, who have giving me such faith and trust with this work, but also being true to the women in the show and being there for them and making sure that they look as wonderful as possible. So that's the other challenge, and I'm thrilled to be part of this.
It sounds really interesting, the direction of this show. Is there a particular song or, you know, even the choreography, even though Liz is not with us, is there ways that we showcase the decade through, like, the movement, even the dancing in any way besides the music that we're taken through this journey on?
Oh, for sure. And, yes, you can say that about a lot of the music in this show. But one number in particular that you will really enjoy is These Boots Are Made for Walking.
Love that
song. So it's not just the song, it's the choreography that goes with it. It just really, really rounds it off and brings it home. It's an amazing number.
Dorothy, back to you. You mentioned this in your first answer about how this was a one-woman show. And when I was reading it, I was like, wow, that's really impressive. And you did presentations, and this was received very warmly by audiences. And then this sparked a one-woman show where you performed it, I believe, across the country and in the world, to mention a few, England, Australia, Singapore. Then it blossomed into a bigger production, more cast members, a huge team behind it. So I would love for you to dive deeper into that experience, the way that it grew before your very eyes. And also, I'm curious how audiences received it differently from across the world.
Well, I started out doing singing in my leadership programs. And the first group I did was 100 bankers from the American Bankers Association at their annual conference. The organizer, I had her rent sound equipment and things, and then I got scared at the end. I said, I can't do this. She said, you have to, because I already rented the equipment. So I did this thing about leadership. It was sort of like, well, most leaders want obedient followers. I will follow him. But after a while, they get tired of that. You don't own me. And they want to do themselves. And everybody got it. But at the end, these bankers stood up and gave me a standing ovation. I thought, oh my God, I'm onto something. Then I started to do the women's thing. And again, I did it of Women's History Month. I was going all around the world doing it. And then people said, turn this into a musical. But the most common reply I got from audience members was, I knew the lyrics to those songs, but I never thought about them before. Johnny Get Angry, Johnny Get Mad, Give Me the Biggest Lecture I Have Had, you know, I Want a Caveman, I Want a Brave Man. You're going, what? And, you know, people will come out of the show and say, oh, I can't believe I survived all this music. But it was in our heads. But I added a lot of humor so that you could take some things that were really difficult. And I remember one guy who saw early in Florida, he sent me an email. He said, you changed my life with this musical, because all along I've been angry at my mother because she was so angry. She wanted to be a doctor, but she had to be a nurse. I watched your musical and I understood her. I forgave her. I walked outside and the sky was more blue. And I think, how can you do something like that? It's like so amazing to uplift hearts in that way. And initially I was producing it myself as the four-woman show, and then it got picked up by commercial producers in Florida, and it just took off. And it's been just so rewarding to, I go there and I go, did I write this? You know, you just see, it's really wonderful to see how it uplifts people.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that this show is providing new perspectives on songs that we all know and love from several decades, and it's really nice to hear that audience members are coming away with that after seeing the show. Is there a particular song that you think in the show, because there's a lot, that this perspective really hits home for audiences? Is there one, maybe from you as well, Ovi and Dorothy, is there one song or maybe a couple songs that you think you...
I can tell you one thing.
Yes.
When one of our performers sings, "I am woman, hear me roar," holy crap. It's not only the way it's performed, but where it's placed in the show, it leaves you with such goose pimples. I mean, mm-hmm. it will just stop you dead on your tracks. But there's a lot of moments like that in the show. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of moments like that in the show. And also the number "I Will Survive" is another mm-hmm. one where you're left like breathless. You know, it's not really just one song. It's the whole journey of music. And then there are moments throughout and scenes throughout. There are some monologues, you know, regarding like the struggles that black women particularly were having. And that leaves you like shaken a little bit. You're like, wow, how this is expressed. And the music that surrounds it. It's just this sort of beautifully structured journey that we take in this, in this production. Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of moments throughout.
Yeah. And there's some surprises, too. There was a song that was very popular in 1950 that was followed women having a lot of jobs during World War II and then losing them when the men came back. And so the number one song in 1950 was "If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake." And you go, really? That wasn't ironic. That was real. And so just to be able to see that kind of history, and then the song At 17, which is about body image and so on, which was way ahead of its time, it's very poignant, but you're going, oh my God, we really, women had to live through that back then too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've performed this show. Is there a song that you particularly love to perform for audiences?
Yes, "Let It Please Be Him," Vicky Carr. And it's a song that I think a lot of women can relate to, waiting by the phone for him to call. You keep picking it up. It's not him. And you're going to die if he doesn't call you. I mean, Vicky Carr sang it seriously, and she's still very popular in certain parts of the world. But we do it to show the underlying humor now that we can look back at it. Are you kidding? Were we like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of us went through that.
Right. So we've mentioned a lot of songs, but I'm curious, are there more songs that were like soundtracks to your life that are in this show? Any of them? Do you have any favorites?
I love them all. I think I know the words to every single song in this. I was very touched during rehearsal with Que Sera Sera. Mm-hmm. Not that I love it more than anybody else. It really just, because I know my mother used to sing it to me, and I know a lot of people's mothers used to sing it to them. And it's like just trying to find your place in the world. And will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Like, those are the things to aspire to. You know, in our generation, that's what our mothers were singing to us. Mm-hmm. And it made me sad. And it also made me realize how far we have come. I would never have sung that to my daughters, you know? And I do believe in Que Sera Sera, in life, what will be, you know? But those aren't the particular benchmarks we're looking for, like pretty and rich.
And it's done in a very particular way, too. Yes. In the beginning, the performers sing with this sort of little baby voice, little girly voice, and they're doing this little waltz around the stage. It's very seemingly innocent, because that's how they're indoctrinated, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a monologue, and then after the monologue, the women have grown up, and they sing with a heavier tone, and they sing as though they're singing a beer-drinking song at a pub. Get a kiss, and
that's right.
It's very aggressive and powerful.
Beautiful.
It makes you see the journey of that. Like, this is what you were taught as a little girl, and then you grow up, and you're a woman. Like, how do you deal with that? How does that affect you today? So it's really powerful to see not only the journey of music throughout the show, but the journey of music just within the scope of one song. is really cool. And so I'm glad you mentioned that, because that number in particular is very powerful.
Wow. Seeing that growth seems really cool.
Yeah, and when it gets to the song, because the phases that women go through is from codependent to anger, cynicism, and then inner strength. So Girls Just Want to Have Fun and Material Girl are cynicism songs. But when it gets to inner strength, the first one was Greatest Love of All, and it's sung with the kind of power that we finally had as women, instead of being that Que Sera or I Will Follow Him songs.
Can I quickly mention also,
please,
this is being produced during International Women's Month.
That is right.
So it's great timing. And ladies, if you're out there and you hear this, please come see this show. This is your show. Mm. You will love this, I promise you.
And I also just want to say that it's being done in Rosendale, at the Rosendale Theater. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, it's traveling up to Phoenicia. So it'll be at the Phoenicia Playhouse for 2 weekends. So there's plenty of opportunities. If you can't make the first weekend, maybe you can make it up in Phoenicia.
And you can come back again.
And you can.
You can come back again.
Because people used to come 10 times when we played off Broadway.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
Once again, the Rosendale Theater, in collaboration with Phoenicia Playhouse, is presenting the Hudson Valley premiere of the musical Respect, This One's for the Girls, starting on March 27th. You can find more information about this production at rosendaletheater.org. Anne, Ovi, Dorothy, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Madeline.
Yes, I love learning about this production. It was great.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.